It is now 1:15 on Wednesday afternoon, so you already know what time that means. It is time for the Corner Flag with your host, Christian Hernandez, right here on WBDG. So let's get this kicked off. Hello, and welcome to the final edition of the Corner Flag with your host, Christian Hernandez. It is currently May 25th of 2022. And this week, the conclusion of Europe's top five leagues has happened. And we got to look at who are our current champions throughout the European top five leagues. Now we're going to kick it off and head over to Spain to a champion we already know who has won. We already knew they won for a good couple of weeks now. Talking about Real Madrid, of course. Real Madrid, they won La Liga fairly easily this season with Atletico and Barcelona being more than off the pace for a good amount of the season, allowing Real Madrid to clinch an easy championship and allowing them to win, I believe, their 31st or 32nd title of the Spanish La Liga. Now, obviously, Real Madrid are just nothing short of, obviously, probably the best team in the world, historically. And, I mean, it's great to see them win another accolade just to add on to their endless collection of trophies and stuff. But, yeah, along with them, they will be heading to the Champions League with the others of the top three. That includes, obviously, the likes of Barcelona and Atletico de Madrid. But, yeah, the final day really did decide who was getting that final four spot. Which it was Sevilla on the day, and Real Betis narrowly missed out on Champions League, which is quite unfortunate to see the Copa del Rey champions not make the Champions League, but they will be playing Europa League football, and I do think they should be considered the favorites next season in the Europa League, as they have a very strong starting lineup, and they're definitely capable of beating some big teams, as they showed throughout the season in La Liga, this brilliant fight, and also winning the Copa del Rey, which is usually a tournament dominated by the big three in Spain. So, yeah, I'd keep an eye out for Betis if I were you, as Pellegrini over there has really made that team something, and I cannot wait to see how they play next season. Along with them, Real Sociedad will be playing the Europa League as well, with Villarreal clinching a UEFA Conference League spot. So I think those guys are probably the heavy favorites in the Conference League. And, I mean, hopefully we do get to see a great run for Villarreal, who did have a great run in this season's Champions League. But, yeah, unfortunately, we do have to talk about the relegations. Of course, the teams that will not be in the Spanish top flight next season, that will be Granada, Levante, and Alves. Now, Alves has been in the league for, I believe, three or four seasons now, so it is quite unfortunate to see them go back down to the second division of Spanish football, but they have been easily the most inconsistent team in the league, so that's what happens when you're in that much danger. But Levante is very sad to see this team for many years now. La Liga has been nicknamed the Giant Killers, as every time they play a big team, they provide tons of issues and more often than not actually beat that big team. But it would be a bit upsetting now for most La Liga fans to see that AJ Morales and his whole squad is unfortunately going down. Now, the question is, will AJ Morales move to another La Liga mid-table side to keep his scoring up, as he's been a very prolific goal scorer in Levante at his time there? But it depends. Will he be more loyal to the team, or will he move on from the team? We'll see, though. But Granada have been relegated. Granada, I mean, it's a bit of a shock to see him get relegated as they start off the season very well. But yeah, it's obviously shown that the second half of the season did not treat this side very well, and they are unfortunately relegated now. But yeah, I mean, that's a bit unfortunate, but I think a lot of teams will be very grateful that they did not get relegated, like Cadiz or Masola or Getafe. I mean, those three teams, I definitely thought those were the ones that were going to get relegated this season, but they do narrowly dodge it, and that's great for them. But yeah, that's all I'm going to talk about in the Spanish division, but I do that's not all I'm going to talk about. I do want to say the player of the season for me in that league. Obviously, there is a gap between first and second place for contenders of player of the season, but I think it has to be Karim Benzema. The guy's just insane. Every game he played, pretty much he scored in. I mean, what a player. But yeah, let's head over to England now, where the English Premier League did conclude. What a great season it was. That final day was probably one of the most intense things I've watched since the 2013-14 season, end of the season for the Premier League. What a great final day. Man City and Liverpool were obviously both teams chasing the title, with Liverpool barely missing out by a point to City. City clinched their fourth Premier League title in five seasons. Premier League is officially a farmers league thanks to Pep Guardiola. It's like France all over again, but in England. So great to see. But yeah, Man City, they did look pretty rough for a good amount of that last day. They were down 2-0 at one point to Aston Villa. Steven Gerrard, of course, slips again, lets them let City score three on them in 5 minutes, and there you go. It's a win for City. City win the title once again. Pep Guardiola was very emotional after this title, as I mean, it's been a bit of a rush season for Manchester City, especially in recent weeks since they were heavily criticized for their knockout against Real Madrid in the Champions League semifinals. They go trophyless again in that tournament. But yeah, I think City should be overall very happy with how the season has gone for the most part. They definitely do deserve this title, as they were the most consistent team in the Prem in my eyes. Liverpool were barely below them, but they were unable to obviously leapfrog City in the final days and be consistent where it mattered most. I'm sure a lot of Liverpool fans were heartbroken as Man City's winner was scoring essentially at the same time as Liverpool's winner for their game. So their celebrations did not matter whatsoever, unfortunately. But for City and Liverpool, the teams that will be joining them in next season's UEFA Champions League will be Chelsea, who stuck on the third despite being incredibly out of form this last month. I mean, I feel like they picked up like two losses and a draw before getting a win on the last day. I mean, obviously that is heavily inconsistent of Chelsea, but yeah, Chelsea, they've gone for a really rough season themselves, losing their owner, Roman Abramovich, due to the politics about Russia and stuff. But they have been officially bought by the owner of the Dodgers, I think. So that'll be very interesting to see what their new owner does next season, as it was approved today that he's allowed to be their new owner. So let's see if he carries on the incredible amount of success that Roman Abramovich had over in Chelsea at his time there. As for fourth place, it's Tottenham Hotspur, as expected, as they did beat Arsenal last week, I believe, to leapfrog them in fourth place. So yeah, Arsenal choked Champions League once again. Round of applause to Arsenal, always choking Champions League. But yeah, they're not the only big team that kind of choked Champions League, I would say. Manchester United, they had a heavy transfer, but obviously, as you know from listening to me across the whole season, they have been horrible. Absolutely a horrible side to watch with the signings that they had. And yeah, once again, they proved to be horrible and not get a top four spot, not even top five. They get sixth place. Manchester United will be playing Europa League next season. So yeah, that should be interesting to see what Ronaldo does in his first run in the Europa League. He'd probably break the scoring record or something, because that league is, Ronaldo has played in the Champions League for so long now that the Europa League's like light work for this man probably. But yeah, with that, we do see West Ham grabbing the Conference League, as they did lose in the final day of the season to Brighton. If they had won, they would have made United go to the Conference League, which would have been even more hilarious, but unfortunately, we did not get that. But yeah, taking a look at this table, I mean, it's pretty balanced, I'd say, for the most part. A lot of people probably would have predicted United to be up by the end of the season, but obviously, they were horrible, so I'm beating up on United a lot, my bad. But yeah. With that, let's just head on down and talk to the relegation zone. The relegation zone, I mean, if you remember in January, Newcastle was down there. Newcastle's at 11th place now. So, I mean, that proves quite significant what Newcastle did with their January transfers. As for the other teams, though, their January transfers did not prove them to help at all. That includes Burnley, Watford, and Norwich, who will all unfortunately be relegated down to the EFL Championship. Now, Norwich, I mean, it's pretty obvious from the get-go that they were going to get relegated. They had by far the worst team in the Premier League, let's be honest here. But, yeah, as for Watford, a bit unfortunate to see them go. They had some stars this season, such as Sarr and Emile Dennis, but they were not able to carry this team all the way to a survival spot. But, yeah, I'm sure those two players might just find a transfer out of Watford to keep playing in the Premier League, hopefully, because they have definitely proven they are more than Premier League quality. Great players indeed. But as for Burnley, I mean, I'd feel bad for a workhorse who came in from Germany over in Wolfsburg. He came in to try to keep Burnley up, and Burnley were unfortunately relegated. So workhorse, a proven first division top class striker, is going down to the EFL Championship. Cannot wait to see him score 50 goals next season in the Championship. But yeah, as for Leeds United and Everton, the last two match days proved crucial to the sides, as they obviously both avoided relegation with crucial wins over their opponents. Great job to both of them for surviving relegation. But yeah, as for who I believe is the Premier League player of the season, that question is very difficult to answer, as there were plenty of good players. You can argue between Heung-min Son, Mohamed Salah, and Kevin De Bruyne. Maybe even try to squeeze in Ronaldo. But for me, consistency is key. So I'm going to give it to Heung-min Son, who has been consistent throughout the whole season, scored 23 goals this season without any of them being penalties. That is ridiculous right there. All 23 goals came from open play. What a player that Heung-min Son is. I mean, what a guy. But yeah, that's a great achievement from Heung-min Son right there. Been unfortunate he didn't get player of the season. I definitely don't feel like the official player of the season should have been Kevin De Bruyne. I definitely feel like Salah and Heung-min Son have done way more to deserve the player of the season award than Kevin De Bruyne has in the season. But I ain't gonna knock Kevin De Bruyne down that hard. He has had a phenomenal season. Actually had his top scoring season with 16 goals, I believe. So that is a very class season for Kevin De Bruyne right there. But that's all I'm going to talk about the Premier League. Let's head over to Italy. Now, Serie A, I mean, it's been a league that's been dominated by Juventus for so long now. And it was just last year that we saw Inter Milan clinch the title for the first time in a very long time. But unfortunately, they did not retain their title, as their cross-city rivals, AC Milan, have pulled up, came out of their rubble, and have picked up the Serie A title for the first time in 11 years. That is remarkable. AC Milan, last time they picked up this title, they had a star-studded team with the likes of legends like Zambrotta, Nesta, Thiago Silva. I mean, their squad was just packed of elite defenders and elite attackers. I mean, that team was star-studded. But unfortunately, they have had a fallout in the last couple of years, kind of being a sleeping giant in recent times. But I definitely do think this is the start of the resurgence of this side, as winning the Serie A title could mean a lot to them, especially with the likes of the players that they've signed and the young players that they have currently. Rafael Leao has proved crucial. The left winger, the young Portuguese man, has proved crucial to their title winning season. And also, we got to see the third Maldini in a row win a title. If you don't know, the Maldini family has played for AC Milan for a very long time, starting with Pablo Maldini's father. I forgot his first name, but that Maldini won, like, I believe, 5 titles with them. And then this Pablo Maldini won 6, I believe, with the side. And then his son recently, this most recent title, have gone ahead and won his first title with the side. So, yeah, I think it's pretty funny that 12 out of the 19 titles won by AC Milan in the Serie A have been won with a Maldini in their team. It's kind of funny, but yeah, great job to AC Milan for winning the title. And they will be heading to this season's Champions League along with the likes of Inter Milan, Napoli, and Juventus, barely clinching that 4th place spot over Lazio by 6 points. But yeah, obviously Lazio will be playing Europa League and Roma will be playing Conference League, I believe. And well, Roma's in the final of the Conference League. So if they win that, they will be playing Europa League, I believe. So that should be interesting to see. But yeah, heading on down the table to the teams that got relegated. Now, these ones, they hurt a bit to see two of the teams down here. That is Cagliari and Genoa. Both teams have been in Serie A for a very long time. It's quite unfortunate to see them be relegated down to Serie B. But they've had horrid seasons, so they deserve it. But the bottom team is Vezina, the team with the best drip in soccer, apparently, because everyone wanted to buy their kit. But unfortunately, they are relegated after picking up a bottom spot, despite having marquee signings such as Nani and others. But yeah, they were pretty much the worst team in the league by a lot, in my opinion. But yeah, for me, honestly, the player of the season in Serie A is very hard to say. There's been a lot of ballers this season over in Serie A, but I think the one that comes to mind the most for me is Lautaro Martinez. I mean, he's had a great season for Inter Milan, and I mean, I think he deserves it. He's definitely, a lot of people underrated his season. Everyone's distracted looking at the likes of Christopher Nkunku, Karim Benzema, and Mohamed Salah seasons, you know? No one looked at Lautaro Martinez, who has over 30 goals in all competitions. Very solid stat to have indeed. But yeah, that's my player of the season for the Serie A. Now, the second last league I want to talk about is obviously the Bundesliga. We have known for weeks now that Bayern Munich have won it, but I do want to talk about the Champions League spots, as it did come down to the wire on the last day for the 4th spot. Now, obviously, Dortmund pick up 2nd place, along with 3rd being Bayern Leverkusen, and RB Leipzig, despite having, for me, the player of the season in the Bundesliga, Christopher Nkunku, They did struggle to get that fourth place spot over Union Berlin. But they did get in the last day by 1 point, pretty shockingly. But yeah, the Champions League players, the Champions League teams that are German next season will be Bayern Munich, Borussia Dortmund, Leverkusen, and RB Leipzig. As for the bottom, the teams that are going down are Greuther Fürth, Benfica, and Hertha Berlin. Now, Hertha Berlin have to play a playoff match, rather. They're not exactly going down fully, but they have the potential going down as Stuttgart in the last day of the season picked up a last-minute winner to get out of that spot and put Hertha Berlin in that position. So that should be interesting to watch. I think this is the only league. I don't know, him and why did I say him? Bundesliga and Liga both have this relegation playoff game in their league system. Only two leagues in the top five leagues that have that. But I always think that matchup is very cool, and I do hope that other leagues will implement that system in the future, as it provides so much more drama into the final game of the season, which will be that relegation playoff. But yeah, with that, I do want to talk about Ligue 1 with obviously the squad. I mean, who else would win it but PSG, Paris Saint-Germain? They they pump money so much into that team. Of course they're going to win the title. They won it by 86 points, and I mean, what can you really expect? PSG, I mean, they've definitely had a pretty disastrous season in the Champions League, and I mean, they'll be happy that the end of the season definitely turned out a little bit better with the title being theirs, and Kylian Mbappe deciding to stay over there. They had to offer him an absolutely horrible contract that I'll talk about in a little bit, as it is just ridiculous. I've never seen a player, it's basically, man's literally the LeBron James of soccer now with his contract. But I'll talk about that soon. As for who's joining them in the Champions League will be Marseille. So it's great to see the only French team to win the UEFA Champions League back into the tournament once again. And Monaco would be playing the playoff spot to get into the Champions League, as France only has two Champions League spots, which is first and second place. So that should be interesting to watch with the Europa League. Obviously, Rennes and Nice is going into that, with Stuttgart joining the Conference League, I believe. Now, as for the bottom of the table, Bordeaux will be going down despite having one of the most prolific players throughout the first half of the season, Albert Ellis, the Hondureño. Unfortunately, his team is going down. He had a nice little run, but he definitely did burn out towards the end of the season. As for 19th place, Mentz will be going right back down. And the biggest shocker, who is playing that relegation game, is Saint-Étienne, which is the most successful team in France. They've had such a huge fallout in recent years that they are playing the relegation playoff game. We could potentially see him playing in Ligue 2, not Ligue 1, which is unfortunate. But yeah, that's what happens when a club is so poorly managed. As for the last season champions, Lille, they did find themselves in 10th place, so they had a horrible title defense season, I would have to say. But that's Ligue 1 for you. Teams, as soon as a team wins, all their players get signed to all these big teams, and they are left with scraps. Quite unfortunate, but that's how it goes over there. As for the player of the season of Ligue 1, obviously it cannot be anyone else but Kylian Mbappe. This guy just tears up this league every season, constantly. And speaking of Mbappe, let's talk about that contract, because oh my goodness, what were PSG thinking? This man, Kylian Mbappe, is going to be making 100 million euros a year with a 51 million euro add-on. And on top of that, they offered him the position of sporting director. He gets the power to choose who can be sold from the club, who is the new manager, and he gets to put in recommendations of who to sign. This man became the sporting director overnight by signing this contract. Obviously, this has really made all the Real Madrid fans, who were very excited to see him join the club, very mad and saying that he should never be allowed in Real Madrid ever again. Now, personally, I can't really blame the guy. If I saw this type of contract, I don't care how much money I have. That is the most ridiculous contract in the history of the sport. I'd sign it. That is insane to me. They're letting this man basically pick the team. If he gets mad at Messi, he could sell Messi. Like, what? This is ridiculous to me. But yeah, quite a bit of a shocker right there from that contract from Paris Saint-Germain. Obviously, the president of La Liga, who only likes to step in and do stuff for Real Madrid, has decided to file a complaint to UEFA over this enormous, absolutely unacceptable contract. But yeah, the way I see it, that is just ridiculous. I don't think any player in any sport should have that much power in decision making to the team. I never think a player should be bigger than the team. That you just don't let that happen. But yeah, quite unfortunate right there. And hopefully it doesn't have as much as an impact as the inflation of the transfer market had a few years back when Neymar went to Paris Saint-Germain. Like PSG, every time they do something, they just change the spectrum of soccer. Like a few years back when they bought Neymar, it fluctuated the transfer market so much. We have players that would usually go for like 20 mil, go for like 40 to 60 mil. And I just think that hurts the sport so much, especially for the smaller teams. You just can't afford that. But yeah, hopefully no players try to pull a Kylian Mbappe and try to get a big contract like he just did recently. It just blows my mind, a 23-year-old having that much power. It's ridiculous to me. But yeah, with that, I do want to say that this is the end of the corner flag for now. It's been great hosting it. I've enjoyed it a lot, and I'm just glad I was able to share a lot of the news of the world's sport. And I want to thank WBDG for having me on, and the Sports Spotlight for giving me this incredible opportunity to try this. Thank you, and I'll be leaving the rest to the radio station. Thank you for listening to the Quarter Flag, and keep listening to WBDG.